This is BPNradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go to grow. Marketplace Saturday is designed for the entrepreneur, employee, or student that's looking to grow, learn, and become more today than they were yesterday. Now, here's your host for Marketplace Saturday, Rick Gentry.
This is Rick Gentry with BPNradio.com here on Marketplace Saturday. Great place to hear business stories, business principles, a lot of insightful information. So if you're wanting to possibly host your own show, please contact me at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com or call or send me a text at 214-918-8707. We're recording here in Austin, Texas, and my special guest today is he's pretty famous in at least four states and 25 counties. His name's Wayne Ahart, and I'm excited to interview Wayne today and listen to his journey on business. And I would like to just say up front that if you're listening today, you're going to be blessed, because I know you're going to learn a lot. So we're going to learn, listen, and laugh. I like those three things. And so we're very excited to have you today. Wayne, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Rick, and it's good to talk to you today.
Well, Wayne, I know that you we're just going to get right into it, but I did want to start maybe just where you grew up. Tell us a little bit about that. You're going to school and your family, and then how you got in the insurance business.
Well, Rick, I grew up in Arkansas, just outside of Little Rock, and went to school at a place called Jacksonville. And I actually only went through the ninth grade. I quit school after football season in 10th grade, and went to work for a lumber company there, a fellow by the name of Doyle Venable. And I had a good 9 years with him, from age of about 13 to 22, and learned a lot from him. He was a good businessman, hardworking guy, and he taught me a lot. Then I went from there on into the insurance business in 1962.
Wow. Wayne, you started working at a lumber yard when you were 13. That's a pretty amazing story. One thing I did not know about was the journey of the lumber yard. So you got a lot of great business principles there, it sounds like.
I did. He, the guy that owned that, become like a second father to me, just about. And and he was a great man, and knew, you know, a lot about people and how to handle people and how to deal with people and how to act. And I was fortunate enough to learn all at his feet.
Hmm. Well, I usually ask this maybe towards the end, but let me go ahead and ask you, since we're talking about your childhood and when you were growing up there in the great state of Arkansas, who were a couple of your biggest influences on you, Wayne, when you were a kid?
Well, there's no doubt that Doyle Venable at Venable Lumber Company was a great influence on me, but I come from a large family. There was nine kids in my family, and I was right in the middle of them, four above me and four below me, eight boys and one girl. And I had a wonderful set of parents. My father was as good a man as I've ever known, and he was a great influence. And, of course, my mom was like the Rock of Gibraltar. She just passed away this past week at 102 years of age.
Wow.
And she was also a great influence, but several of my brothers were very influential with me. They were good, solid guys and hard workers, and had good principles, and so all of those people were a good influence.
Wow. Well, I know this, Wayne, that it takes a lot of people. I know in my case, I can look back at many people that influenced me. along the way, and I'm still a work in progress, but I thank God for all those people that that gave me a helping hand and helped me to get where I'm at today. Well, so Wayne, you worked at the lumber yard, and then you went into the insurance business. Tell us about that, please.
Well, one of my older brothers, who was out in Odessa, Texas, got recruited by this insurance company in Oklahoma City to go to work for them. And he was pretty excited about it, and he called me and wanted to know if I would be interested in coming out and going to work with them. And at the time, I was pretty much convinced that I knew what I wanted to do, but I also had a week off with not much to do, and I said, well, I'll be glad to come out there and talk. So I did, and they did a real good job of explaining the business to me and how I could learn the business and be successful at it. And so they changed my mind about my career. I thought at the time that I wanted to own my own lumber company and maybe a chain of lumber companies. And so after visiting with Mr. Nick Pope, who was the founder of the company in Oklahoma City, I got convinced that if I could build a lumber company, I could build a life insurance company, and if I could build one, I could build several. So I went back and made preparations to move to Oklahoma City.
What year was that, Wayne?
1962.
Wow, 1962. Well, I want to
you might be interested in this. I immediately set a goal for myself that I was 22 years of age at that time, and I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 35 and have my own company. And so in fact, I discussed that with Mr. Pope. I told him, I said, I want to be like you. I want to do what you did. Mm-hmm. He said, well, if you really want to do that, and if you'll do what I tell you and go wherever I tell you to go, I will, teach you everything that you need to know. And then when it comes time for you to start your own company, and if you've done well, I'll help you. So we kind of had a handshake on it, and in 1973, 11 years later, I moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, to start my own company, and so I beat my 13-year goal of both having my own company and a millionaire.
Wow, that's amazing, Wayne. What do you think that the core values were, just working towards your goals? It's one thing for a man to say that, but it's another for someone to do that. And so what would be some of the principles and core values, Wayne, that you'd like to share with our listeners today that helped you achieve that?
Well, Rick, I think one of the first things that it's almost impossible not to succeed with unless you have it, and if you have it, you really hardly can't fail, and that is self-confidence. I gained a lot of self-confidence in working for Mr. Pope in the lumber business, and of course my brothers were all pretty self-confident, and we competed against each other and everything, and so when I went to work for an insurance company, there was no doubt in my mind that I could do what they were going to teach me to do. And the school trainer who taught the first week I went to school to learn how to sell their product, and the trainer told me that I probably wouldn't make it because I was, number one, 22, and I was pretty young. And I looked like at the time that I was about 17. And he just said, you're going to have a hard time getting people to have much confidence in anything you tell them because of your age. And so I told him, I said, well, I'll just have to outwork everybody. And so I set out with that thought in mind of outworking everybody, and I did outwork everybody, and I did well. And the owner of the company took notice of me and started using me as examples, and a lot of our sales meetings and seminars and things. And then they, after about a year, they moved me into a little management role and assigned me to about four counties to oversee. And after about a year there, they approached me about moving back to the state of Arkansas and opening up the state for the company, which I did, and spent close to a couple of years over in Arkansas getting that operation started over there. And and then they approached me about coming back to Oklahoma City as the assistant to the president of the company. And and there I had a rare opportunity of working with what was at that time the nation's leading sales and marketing consultant, a fellow by the name of J. Douglas Edwards. And Doug Edwards was one of the smartest men I've met, absolutely brilliant and a great public speaker. In fact, he was ranked the second most sought after public speaker in the United States at that time, right behind Paul Harvey. And so I got to spend quite a bit of time with him, and he liked me, took a liking to me, and asked me to go with him and assist him in holding some of his sales training seminars around. And so I got plenty of good training from good people, but the main thing is at all those times I had confidence that I could do what they were asking me to do and would do it and would work, and that's the key.
That's an awesome story, Wayne. You showed up and you outworked everybody and you had the confidence. Well, confidence is contagious. I agree with that. Well, I wanted to let our listeners know that you're listening to Marketplace Saturday. We're on every Saturday from 9 a.m. to midnight. And my special guest is, I think he's pretty famous, actually, but I've actually got to play golf with him, too. So he's the only famous man I've ever played golf with. But, Wayne, I'm just honored to have you here today, and captivated would be a good word. As I listen to you talk and your journey through everything. So let's move on to when you opened your first insurance agency. Tell that story.
Well, it wasn't an agency. It was the actual company, the real company that does the underwriting and the issuing and the claim paying and all of that. The agencies actually work for an insurance company. And so this was an insurance company that I was going to form, and I began to put out a lot of feelers. I really wanted, my first place I wanted to go to start a company was the state of Texas. And back in the 50s and 60s, they had a lot of insurance companies start in Texas, and a bunch of what they call fly-by-nighters, suede shoe operators, and they'd had all they wanted. And so when I got ready to talk to them about coming to Texas and starting a new company here, they wouldn't even talk to me. So I went to looking for other states, and finally had a nice visit with the securities commissioner and then the insurance commissioner of the state of Indiana, and both assured me that they would, you know, look favorably on a new company if we could pass their exams and abide by all their rules and regulations, which I assured them that we would. And when all was said and done, well, they did approve me. We had a $5 million public stock offering, which we sold to the public ourselves, hired and trained salesmen to sell them, and we allocated so much to be sold in every county in the state. And we were able to get that done. We picked some pretty outstanding people for our board of directors, and that helped. And so it took us 2 years to get the stock sold and get the insurance company formed and organized, and kicked the insurance company off within 2 years. That the successful of the stock sale was kind of unknown to anybody in that state at that time. And We worked out a reinsurance arrangement with Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, which was in the reinsurance business, and so we could issue any size policy that we would only take the risk up to a certain amount, and then any amount above that, Lincoln National would then kick in and take care of the balance. So that enabled us to issue any size policy that we wanted to issue. We grew pretty rapidly, and we had a good sales force of probably 40, 50 men, nearly all full-time, but one or two of them were part-time, but they did pretty good for us. And in fact, later on, when I got ready to start another company, I took one of them to the state of Nebraska to start the second company and made him the president. And we just repeated the process over there, did the same thing. Sold $5 million of stock over there and formed a Nebraska insurance company and began selling the products and did well and were making profits in both companies. And then I got a call from my old boss, Nick Pope in Oklahoma City, and he said, "Wayne, I know that you've always wanted to be in Texas." And he said, "I've got a friend who's a lawyer in Austin, and he is a former securities commissioner of the state of Texas. And said, I've been telling him about you and that your desire to be in Texas and how successful you were in Indiana and Nebraska. And he said, well, you know, he said, I'm the guy that shut down all companies coming to Texas. But he said, I think I overdid it. I should have slowed it down and not shut it down. And he said, tell Wayne to come talk to me. So I did, and we got along very well. He liked the way I operated the companies, and so he said, well, if you would like, I'd be glad to represent you before the securities board, and I think we can probably get you a new company approved in Texas. I said, well, get started. He said, I told him, I said, if you'll do that, I'll move to Texas and run everything out of here.
Right, right.
So he did. He went to work on it, and shortly thereafter, he said he'd had a real good meeting with the securities board and the new securities commissioner, and they were favorably looking at our proposal. And eventually we did get it approved, and the insurance company insurance commissioner approved a new Texas insurance company. And so I moved to Austin and brought the guy that was head of our inside operation, took care of, you know, all the internal operations. Then he usually handled the investing of our money, and a really, really good man. He was he had actually done that very same thing with my old boss at Nick Pope at Oklahoma City. He was in that same position there, and I persuaded him to come to Indianapolis with me. And then when I got an opportunity to come to Texas, I brought him with me. And then I brought one of those guys that used to be a part-timer working for us out in Indiana, and I thought I saw a lot in him and a lot of ability and a lot of drive, and his name was Don Byrd, B-Y-R-D. And I said, Don, if you go to Texas with me and you help us build a company down there and do a good job, I'll put you ahead of sales of the whole company. And so he did, and he did a good job. And I made him what we call the agency director, and that's director of all sales operations. And after about a year, we were doing real well in Texas also, and I had an opportunity to look at the state of Iowa for a fourth company, and I asked Don, would he like to become the president of the Iowa company, move up there, and he said, yes, he would. And so sent him up there, and we did the same thing up there, and it was very successful. One of the keys to the success of all these companies is that we selected outstanding people to be on the boards of directors. And for example, here in Texas, we had Daryl Royal and Tom Landry both on the board of directors. And we had Gene Cernan, Captain Eugene Cernan, who was the last man to put a footprint on the face of the moon. And we had other great leaders. In fact, the attorney that used to be the security commissioner of Texas, Bill King, I asked him to go on the board, and he said, you know, I usually don't go on the board of directors of any company that I represent, but in your case, I'll do it. And so he did, and so Bill was on our board, as well as the chairman of the bank at Kingsville, which was a King Ranch Bank, and was considered by many to be one of the most prominent men in all of South Texas. So I just, you know, if you get really good people around you that will actually get their hands dirty and get in and do some work and help you, then it's amazing what you can achieve. And so we were fortunate to achieve in all those companies.
Well, Wayne, I tell you, that's an amazing story right there. And so it sounds like that working with people would be after you you started your own insurance companies, I guess four in total, correct?
A fifth one. We later started another one in my home state of Arkansas. Arkansas was kind of like Texas. When Texas said no to me originally, that they wouldn't even discuss it. Well, I went to Arkansas, and they wouldn't either. And they'd had some of the same experiences Texas had had. And but later, I had a lawyer over in Arkansas that had worked with me on an acquisition, and he was the former Arkansas Securities Commissioner, and he really liked how we operated. And so one day he called me, and he said, you know, he said, I think you ought to do this in Arkansas. And he said, if you will permit me to, I'll start discussing the possibility with the insurance and securities commissioners and see if we can't talk them into doing another company here. And so I said, sure, I'd love to be in my home state. And so he was able to get it approved. And when we got to put the board of directors together, I came over, and we got Frank Broyles on the board, who was the most popular man in the state of Arkansas and most respected. We also got the leader of the Arkansas House of Representatives and the Arkansas Senate, we got one of the top guys in the Arkansas Power and Light Company, APNL. So we got a lot of really solid people, and we were able to again repeat the process and do a good company there.
Well, Wayne, I tell you, I'm amazed at the people that God sent your way. And also, I guess, I believe I asked you the other day this question and I know a lot of Sooner fans and Longhorn fans will remember a famous coach by the name of Tom Osborne there in Nebraska, and you said you had met him before.
Yes, the guy that was that hired Tom Osborne, the athletic director and former coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, was a guy by the name of Bob Devaney. And Bob Devaney was on our Nebraska board. And so I met Tom through Bob, and he was Tom Osborne is as fine a person as you'll ever be, just a wonderful person.
Yes, sir. Well, I tell you what, I always respected him, and I didn't even know him just by his demeanor and his attitude.
Yeah.
And you know, he was just you could tell he was a person that cared. Well, Wayne,
he was a competitor, but you knew, or you should have known, anyone that ever competed against the Nebraska Cornhuskers when Tom Osborne was coach knew that he was going to compete hard, but he was going to compete fairly. He there was no cheating, no anything that was untoward would not be tolerated by Tom Osborne.
Right. Well, Wayne, let me ask you another question. Just looking back at all your success you've had, and I want to ask you in a moment about the books that you've written as well, but what would be one thing that just to help other business people out? I know there's a lot of brand new business owners out there, and they're needing some wisdom and some advice and some counsel, but what would be the one thing that you might do different looking back?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know, Rick. You know, when you're successful, it's hard to pick out a whole lot of things you would do different. If you go build things or try to build things and you fail, you'll be able to pick out a lot of things that you would try to do differently.
Yes, sir.
You know, if I was starting it all over again as a young man, I'd pretty much do it just exactly the way that I have. One of the great philosophies that I read about Winston Churchill as a young man, which I tried to adopt, and that Churchill said one time was never, 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 never give up. Well, that's the way I operated. You wasn't going to beat me unless you outlasted me, and I wasn't going to allow that to happen.
Well, Wayne, I'll tell you this. I'm inspired by saying that you look back and you just did it good and you did it right the first time, so you don't have to go back and even look at that. Wayne, we just have a couple minutes left. In about 30 seconds, could you tell us the name of the books that you've been able to write?
Well, I wrote the first book I wrote, and I wrote it primarily so that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren someday could know a little bit about what their old grandpa did. And so it was called Yes, You Can Become a Millionaire. And it was basically an outline of some of the things we just talked about, what all I did to start those companies. And I'm actually pretty proud of that book because it lays it out step by step of what we did to build the companies. Then I wrote a little smaller book called The Essence of Excellence. And I put in that book a lot of the things that I'd learned from J. Douglas Edwards, and Zig Ziglar was a good friend of mine, and a guy by the name of Charlie Tremendous Jones, a good friend of mine, and I learned a lot from those guys, and I put a lot of that in the book called The Essence of Excellence. And then the third book I wrote was called Constitutional Armageddon. And it was a layman's view of what the Constitution really was meant to do for our country and how far from it we have gone.
Mm-hmm. Wayne, is there any way that anybody can get your books at this time or...
Well, you could. The first two books were printed by Lulu Press. That's LULU .com. Lulu.com. You can order The Essence of Excellence, and Yes, You Can Become a Millionaire. And then the Constitutional Armageddon was printed by a company that was owned by Charlie Tremendous Jones. And let me see if I can. He had a company called Executive Books in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and through Executive Books, they can order Constitutional Armageddon.
Okay. Wayne, I tell you what, we have 20 seconds left. If you'll bless us with a prayer, we'll have you back. Thank you, sir. You've been listening to Wayne Ahart on BPNRadio.com.
Well, thank you, Rick, and we'll just ask our Lord to bless everyone in America today. Americans need blessing, and especially bless the businessmen of America, because without them, no one could experience the freedom and the opportunities of the great country that we have offers them. And Lord, bless us all.
Thank you, Mr. Wayne Ahart. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to another special edition of Marketplace Saturday, being heard throughout the day here on bpnradio.com. Keep listening for another special show here on Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry.
This is bpnradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go.